Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman.
For your minimum daily adult requirement of sanity.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Hey, TGIF, happy Friday. Juma Mubarak, Shabbat Shalom. It is Friday. It is anything goes Friday. In fact, we're going to be the second, third hour of our program, be taking your calls on any topic you want to talk about. Get ready. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Of course, we'll talk about what's in the news today. And as always, as going on 5 years now, we have in our first hour Senator Bernie Sanders, Brunch with Bernie. His website, sanders.senate.gov. He's got a regular newsletter that he sends out, all the news. And it's not just the news about Vermont, although he does a marvelous job of representing that state. And we're on the air on, I believe, four radio stations in that state right now. But in addition to that, as all U.S. senators do, at a certain level, they're representing all of us, particularly as they serve on these various committees. And I think of Bernie, who's not a Republican and not a Democrat. He's an independent. And I think of Bernie as America's senator, as, in my opinion, as much speaking as a resident of Vermont for 10 years, as a Vermonter. I still think of you as America's senator. Bernie, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Tom. And you keep up the great work that you are doing, because one of the issues that you and I have talked about over the years is that we're not going to revitalize American democracy. The middle class is not going to get a fair shake unless the American people understand what is going on in our society. And the corporate media doesn't do that. And that's why it's so important that we have voices like yours out there talking from a progressive perspective, talking about the needs of working families. So thank you for what you're doing. It's always been a pleasure for me to be on the show.
Yeah, well, thank you. And also I want to thank you for taking calls from listeners. You would not believe the number of politicians who are afraid to come on this program unless they give me the questions in advance, in which case I say, sorry, I'm not going to put you on.
And would never even consider taking calls. I don't know, and nobody knows all the answers to all of the questions that people are going to ask. And I will tell people when I don't know the answer.
Only guy I know who is willing to sit for an hour and take unscreened, unscripted calls. You have no idea who it's going to be or what their topic is, and you've done it now for 5 years, and you just honestly answer them, and I just salute you for it.
Well,
so anyhow, the economy is there's a growing consensus, not just in the United States but all across the world, that Reaganomics and deregulation and the end of the Glass-Steagall Act and all this other stuff. All these wonderful right-wing ideas that have been applied to our economy here in the United States are bringing down the planet.
No, that's right. That's absolutely right. You know, Tom, as I mentioned to you last week, we did something that, in a sense, I have not done before as Vermont senator. We have a website. It's sanders.senate.gov. And what we did last week is we had two town meetings on the economy. And we had Elizabeth Warren. I don't know if you know Elizabeth. She's at Harvard Law School. She writes on debt. She writes on bankruptcy. She writes on what's happening to the middle class. A wonderful writer. And she has several very good books that are out there and are sold very well. And we brought her to Vermont to do two town meetings. And in preparation for those town meetings last Saturday, what I did is I sent out an email to people throughout my state. And I said, listen, tell us in your own words what the collapse of the middle class means. I mean, I don't want to hear any theories. You don't have to attack anybody. What's going on in your lives? And frankly, we're a small state. I expected to get a couple of dozen responses from people telling me what was going on. Well, you know what? As of this point, we've had over 500 responses. And that blew me away. It tells me how severe the economic problems are facing the middle class, because I have to tell you, in Vermont, people are very reticent about talking about those issues. You know, they just don't like to tell the whole world or the United States Senator what's going on in their lives, but they did. And some of these emails that we got just were heartbreaking, because what they were is telling us how people had worked year after year after year, and now as they retire, they come to the retirement age, you know what? They have nothing. They don't know how they're going to live in dignity in retirement. We have instances of older people literally having to go and cut wood to heat their homes in the winter because they can't afford the price of oil. You have young people who are graduating. who write to us, graduating college, who are now deeply in debt and just worried about what kind of career choices, if any, will be available to them. And it just runs across the age spectrum from young people to very old people. And it is just heartbreaking. And what I did the other day, was it Wednesday, I think, I just went to the floor of the Senate and I said, I'm not going to give you a speech. This is not Bernie Sanders talking. This is the people of Vermont, and in some cases, the people of America. We had some emails, and I just got up there and I read them. And it was just that we got a whole lot of emails from that. People said, my God, because the stories that people in Vermont were telling about what's going on in their lives certainly resonated all over this country. People, you know, what's going on now is while the middle class has been collapsing for many, many years, the high price of heating oil, the high price of gas, the high price of food, the outrageously high interest rates that people are forced to pay once they go into debt, all of that is reaching a crescendo. And you're seeing decent people being forced into bankruptcy, people who have, as they say, played by the rules. They worked hard. I mean, one person writes, you know, what do you want from me? I worked hard. Overtime, I've done everything that I'm supposed to be doing. And now we're not making it. My family is not making it. And one woman wrote to us, and I can't remember exactly what it was. She says, you know, let me conclude by saying, I just don't know what's going on in Washington. Either the people in the Senate, in the Congress, in the White House are so isolated from reality, they don't know what's going on. Or maybe even worse, they do know what's going on, and they just don't care. And that was just, that's what I read on the floor. And it's, it was a very poignant and sad comment that I think reflects the concerns of many millions of our citizens.
You know, the BBC came over here. Did I share this with you last week or the week before? The BBC came over here and did a report that played on BBC television. And I'll just share about 30 seconds of this with you, Bernie. This is just going to blow your mind. This is they're taking photos of tents and little tattered, you know, things put together with rags and cardboard boxes in an open field under a highway overpass in Los Angeles. And this is the BBC report. And, hang on just a second, I got to turn it up.
This is the reality of the crisis in the U.S. economy. People who used to own their own homes are living hand-to-mouth on land once occupied by those less fortunate. In the last month, some 60,000 houses were repossessed, their occupants forced out when they could no longer meet ever-increasing mortgage payments. Now they shower at a local church and get by on handouts.
And then she interviews a couple of people, and then she wraps it up.
Others, too, are finding it difficult to let go of what they once had.
I lost a home, settled all my bills, sold it for, which was nothing compared to what I bought it for, and now I'm homeless. And that's kind of hard for me to come by here and see my home.
It's a grim situation, and with more and more people joining the camp every day, it's one that's likely to get worse before it gets better. Wendy Urquhart, BBC News.
So here we have BBC reporting on the existence of Hoovervilles, or Bushvilles, as they call this particular one. Hoovervilles in the United States. Homeless communities, and these are not people who are, you know, the
chronically unemployed.
Yeah, the traditional notion of the homeless. These are people who, in fact, she interviewed a number of people who are working. You know, they're taking the bus to work, but they're working for $6 an hour, and they can't make a mortgage, and they can't even pay rent
anymore. But a couple of points I think should be made here. Number one, it's interesting it takes the BBC to talk about this.
Right.
And one of the scandals of the last many years is that clearly, while the economic situation has deteriorated markedly within the last year, we had up until, you know, a few months ago, Bush going around and his friends going around, coming before my committee, budget committee, saying, the economy is robust. We have great economic growth. Unemployment is relatively low. Meanwhile, the middle class is collapsing. Since Bush has been president, 5 million more people have fallen into poverty. And this didn't happen just in the last few months. Median family income for working families has declined precipitously. 8 million people lost their health insurance. 3 million people lost their pensions. Where was the corporate media saying what was going on to the middle class? You know, they were just echoing, as they did in Iraq, echoing Bush's beliefs about the economy.
The only serious reporting I've seen on this is the BBC, and they do these reports fairly regularly, actually.
Yeah, we're back to where we were getting into Iraq, isn't it?
Yeah, the BBC. Actually, you're right. The BBC was telling the truth about Iraq, at least right up until the war.
And millions of people were tuning into the BBC to find out. find out what was going on in terms of preparation for the war in Iraq. But it speaks, again, you know, to corporate control of the media, why it is so important to have independent voices like yours and other progressive radio people out there reflecting the reality of American life.
Yeah, the reality that, frankly, I think most Americans realize.
That's right.
But it's, anyway. Okay, we'll be taking your calls for Senator Bernie Sanders, 866-303-2270, our telephone number, Bernie's website, sanders.senate.gov. Be sure and sign up for his newsletter. Our website, tomhartmann.com, if you want to drop by. Also, you'll find a link over there to Bernie's website. 16 minutes past the hour on the Tom Hartmann Program.
The Tom Hartmann Program, the true people's radio.
Tom Hartmann. You're tuned to Tom Hartmann Nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KDOJ and 620KDOJ.com.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real Social Security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credits, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens, and if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-884-5203 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-884-5203. That's 1-800-884-5203. Again, 1-800-884-5203.
Helping you make sense of it all.
He is controlling his temper, but he really wants to smack the kid up.
Ed Schultz.
I want to know if Senator McCain has gone through anger counseling. When it comes to the McCain camp saying that he's working on his temper, you and I have every right to ask, what does that mean?
The Ed Schultz Show.
And don't come out there and tell the American people that you're working on it.
Noon to 3.
I think you need to clarify exactly what kind of work we're talking about.
AM 620 KPOJ.
As you're going about your day, your old drafty windows and doors are throwing your money right out the window. The solution is new energy-efficient Milgard products installed by the experts at Henderson & Daughter. You'll make your home more comfortable year-round, save money on your energy bills, and add value to one of your biggest investments, your home. Call Henderson & Daughter today. In Portland, call 503-284-4467. In Vancouver, call 360-573-7402. Henderson & Daughter, CCB number 68623.
Car Vancouver is moving to a new location, and that's great news for you. Because a move this big means everything in their inventory must be sold before the end of the month. With new vehicles arriving at their new dealership, Car Vancouver has to reduce their inventory. And to make that happen, they've cut the price on every new vehicle in stock. That's every Cadillac, every GMC, every Pontiac, and Buick. Now through the end of April, Car Vancouver will be dealing like never before. But they're only moving once, which makes this your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save thousands. If you've been waiting for the perfect time to buy a new vehicle, you can't afford to miss this one-time-only savings event. Don't delay. Car Vancouver's final moving day is approaching fast, so this could be your final chance to take advantage of incredible red tag clearance prices. That's the Red Tag Moving Sale, going on now at Car Vancouver, just 2 minutes north of the I-5 bridge at the City Center C Street exit, where salaried salespeople see it your way.
If you see a boy who struggles to walk or climb stairs, you could be noticing symptoms of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Duchenne is the most common lethal genetic disorder of childhood. If you suspect your son or a boy you know may have Duchenne muscular dystrophy, contact Parent Project Muscular Dystrophy to learn more. Treatments exist that can make a real difference. Why not become informed about what you can do?
Danny?
My leg. Mommy.
Danny, honey, where are you? I can't see you.
They don't know where we are, do they?
Help us, please!
They can't hear us, Mommy.
They can't see, can't move. They're all alone. Or so they think. The National Disaster Search Dog Foundation needs your support. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Be part of the search. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
So the newest report, consumer confidence falls to a 26-year low. Let's see, 26 years ago? Oh, yeah, that was Reagan. Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, powered in part by the Teamsters Union, holding Waste Management Incorporated accountable in the fight for worker safety. Find out more at teamster.org. Our Brunch with Bernie Hour, Senator Bernie Sanders on the line, taking your calls. Our phone number, 866-303-2270. And David in St. Paul, Minnesota, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, hey, Senator Sanders, and Tom. Hey, my point here is that no one has been asked to sacrifice for this war except for our military and their families. And I'm wondering, instead of having all these supplemental bills going through paying for this war, why don't we, or the Democrats and some fiscal responsible Republicans come together and actually propose a war tax, and therefore when it comes time for paying this war, people can actually see what we're paying for here, and there might be a little more outcry as far as getting out of there and, you know, an effective way of stopping the funding for the war.
Well, David, it's funny that you raised that issue, because that is exactly what my staff and I have been talking about, I've been talking about with other senators. And David raises a very profound and important issue. I have been against this war from the beginning. I voted against it in the House. I want to work with people like Russ Feingold to bring our troops home as soon as possible. But what David is doing is approaching this issue from another point of view. And what he is saying is that we are spending $12 billion a month on this war. And Tom, do you know who's paying for this war? You're not paying for it. I'm not paying for it.
Our kids
and our grandchildren are paying for it, because this president, who tells us how important he believes this war is, he doesn't have the guts, as David implies, to go to the American people and ask them to pay for it.
Well, and not only that, our children and grandchildren are not just going to pay for the war. They're going to pay for the interest on the payments.
Absolutely. And you know that there are economists now who are estimating that this war could cost up to $3 trillion when you talk about interest on the debt for paying for the war, and when you talk about taking care of the tens of thousands of soldiers who have been injured, and we have to take care of those soldiers, of course, for the rest of their lives as best we can. When you add all of that stuff together, you're talking between $1 trillion and $3 trillion. And David's point is absolutely right. And I have talked about it and will continue to talk about it and may well do exactly what David says. And that is go to my conservative friends and say, you tell us you are concerned about the national debt and you are fiscally responsible. Well, if you're so concerned, why don't you pay for this war? Raise taxes. You know, in Korea, Harry Truman, when he took the United States into Korea, which was an unpopular war, what he did is, because he believed in not going into deficit, he imposed 11% surtax on people's income. He had an excess profits tax. And when Eisenhower came in, people said to Eisenhower, well, do away with those taxes. And Eisenhower said, no, we're not going to go into debt. We're going to keep those taxes. So if this president believes this war is so important, let him go out to his fellow countrymen and ask them to pay for the war. But he doesn't have the guts to do that, because he knows, as unpopular as the war is right now, how much more unpopular it will be if people actually had to pay for it. So David's point is a very, very good point.
Amen. Flo in Sunrise, Florida, listening on WINS. Hey, Flo, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Mr. Sanders. Hello, Mr. Hartman.
Thank you. Hello.
I have a lot of respect for you. I was born up north, so been through Vermont, loved it. Killington, my daughter skied there.
Yep.
And also, yesterday the Senate wants to give $15 billion in tax breaks for home builders. I don't know. That sort of bothers me.
Yes.
What about the... like my daughter lost her – first she lost her business, her title company, and with no closings, you can't pay for your mortgages, your car payments, whatever. So she's losing everything. Her home – she's in a shed right now with her two dogs. Yeah, she's in a shed with her two dogs.
Unbelievable.
So I see 15 billion tax breaks for home builders down here We have there's all kinds of projects going up. Right behind me, there's a golf course they want to build there. I mean,
let me jump in and right there and tell you what's going on. The bill that was passed in the Senate, which I voted for, was not a good bill. The reason that I and a number of other people voted for it is
this,
that it
this
did
is
not
the bill
pass,
that Chris Dodd put forward originally.
Right.
Yeah.
This was a weak bill, and I think Chris Dodd would be the first to tell you it was a weak
bill.
Oh,
yeah, he said so.
But if we did not pass, the dilemma that we have is to pass anything significant in the Senate, we need 60 votes. And it is very clear that the Republicans will not support anything that really helps working people as opposed to their wealthy business interest friends. So what had to happen is we had to pass this. This bill now goes into conference, where the House had a much stronger bill. But if it was not passed in the Senate, it would go nowhere. So now it will go into conference, I hope very much, and think that the major provisions in the House and not in the Senate will eventually come out of the conference committee, and what we will eventually have is a much stronger bill than what passed the Senate.
Well, and in fact, Chris Dodd originally in that bill put a bunch of protections for homeowners, and the Republicans stripped them out.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, anyway, it's a start, and hopefully the Democrats in the House can make it even better. Senator Bernie Sanders is with us. It's our Brunch with Bernie hour here on the Tom Hartman program. 27 minutes past the hour, 866-303-2270, our phone number. Bernie's website, sanders.senate.gov. Ours, tomhartman.com and airamerica.com.
You're tuned in to the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270. You're listening to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Hey, just a quick reminder to our listeners in Seattle that tomorrow at 4 p.m. I'll be speaking on the main stage at the Seattle State Convention and Trade Center, keynoting the Seattle Green Festival. And following that, I'll be doing a book signing for my new book, Cracking the Code, all about political communications. It's our Brunch with Bernie Hour. Senator Bernie Sanders taking your calls. 1-866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Bernie, ready to go?
Let's do it.
Okay, Rick in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Yes, good morning. I just happened to hear Professor Joseph Stiglitz of Columbia, who won the Nobel Prize for Economics this last hour, go point by point detailing why the war in Iraq and Afghanistan is costing or will cost $3 trillion, point by point. Very convincing, very frightening. And just one point, he said that at this time, we shouldn't be talking about how Iraq is costing $12 billion a month. We should be talking about how it's costing $24 billion a month because of just military veterans' costs.
Right.
And therefore, he concludes we should remove ourselves from Iraq as soon as possible, as quickly as we can get out of there. That's just one point. And my question for you, though, is something you mentioned earlier, the psychological isolation that Bush and Cheney have from the world of reality that we live in, given their disconnect and their constantly drumming bellicosely about a war with Iran. I know this has come up with you before, and you've said that the Congress is pretty much opposed to that, but what real handle does Congress have, do we have, on stopping Bush if he decides to attack Iran?
Well, thanks for your questions, Rick. I talked to Professor Stiglitz just a couple of weeks ago, and you're absolutely right. And just to repeat, what they do right now now is they say we're spending $12 billion a month on troops, on salaries, on equipment and ammunition and tanks and so forth and so on. What they are not calculating is that, A, this money is borrowed. We're paying interest on that debt. And, B, the long-term cost, among other things, in terms of caring for the many thousands of soldiers that are going to go home without legs and arms, who are blind and post-traumatic stress disorder and TBI and so forth and so on. So I think Steiglitz is absolutely right. And what I can also tell you as a member of the Budget Committee, we are frantically searching for ways to rebuild our infrastructure, to move away from fossil fuel into sustainable energy, to make sure that families can afford to send their kids to college, that we have the quality child care that we need, the quality public education that we need. We can't find the money. We can't find the money because all of that money is going into the war. All of that money is going into $515 billion on top of the war for defense spending. And that leaves you just very little to take care of the needs of the middle class and working families of this country. So I think Steiglitz is playing a very good role in pointing that out. In terms of the Iran situation, all I could say, Rick, is that a number of us have introduced a resolution saying as emphatically as we can that it would be unconstitutional for this president to go to war with Iran unless they came before the Congress. We are putting as much pressure on Condoleezza Rice and others to say, don't do that. Don't do that. You got to come before Congress. And I think that if he does come before Congress, he is not going to get the support for that. Right now, we are, to say the least, in very difficult straits in Iraq. The situation in Afghanistan is not going well. I think the last thing we need to do is fight a third war. I think that would be just absolutely off the wall. It would be crazy, and I think regardless of political ideology, a good majority of the members of the House and Senate feel that way.
Tim in South Bend, Indiana, you're on the air with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Yes, Senator Sanders and Tom, thank you so much for everything you do. And you had mentioned, Senator Sanders, that you will tell the Republicans to pay for the war, but my question is when? Because if you wait too long,
well,
you know for a fact Republicans are going to say, see, Democrats just want to raise your taxes.
Well, in this case, they're right. Because in this case, when you're spending $12 billion a month, you have two choices. Either you pay for it now or you pay for it later. And it seems to me to really be quite obscene that we are asking our kids and our grandchildren who have not voted on this war, who have not supported this war, to pay for it with the ensuing interest rates that they will also have to pay. So I think if our Republican friends and this president think this war is so good, let them go back to their constituents and tell them why they think the war is so good, and to tell them, of course, that nothing is free. $12 billion a month is a lot of money. $150 billion a year is a lot of money. And if you like the war, pay for the war.
Amen. Juan in Seattle, Washington, listening on KPTK at Talk 1090. Hey, Juan, you're on the air with Senator Sanders.
How you doing, Senator Sanders? Hey, I'm a U.S. Marine, and I just my question for you was if you had any insight on why it's taking so long to train the Iraqi army to stand on its own.
Well, I don't know that I have any brilliant insight that you have not read elsewhere. I think clearly in Iraq, you have a situation where many of the people in that country are not enthusiastic about having a foreign power running their country, which is currently the case. That's understandable. Second of all, you have deep-seated hostilities that have existed between Shias and Sunnis. And what you have is a lot of politics going on where it's not simply the case that you have the Iraqi government fighting against terrorists. You have the Iraqi government using its power to fight against other factions for political reasons, for oil money, and so forth, and so on. What we saw recently in Basra is the Iraqi army losing about 1,000 of its people who simply put down their arms because they chose not to be fighting against other Iraqis for whatever reason. So you got a difficult situation. The argument I think that many of us have made is that the presence of American troops there is just delaying the time in which the Iraqi political leaders are going to have to make difficult decisions themselves, come to terms with this, and work out their problems and run their country. It's always easy to say, hey, I don't have to worry about it because I got the United States Marines and I got the Army over there. We don't have to worry. We got Uncle Sam pouring in billions of dollars into Iraq, trying to rebuild without a whole lot of success, I should add, the infrastructure of Iraq, while our own infrastructure in this country falls apart. So you got a lot of problems. Bottom line is, I think that Bush never understood the difficulty it would be to run that country after the war.
Philip in Florida, listening on WINZ on WINZ. Philip, you're on the air with Senator Sanders.
Yeah, I have a suggestion. You know, we're coming to April 15th. I cannot see why the Democrats cannot amend the tax code so that any American companies doing business in Iraq can no longer make a profit. Either they're non-profit or they do it for charity. If you remove the financial incentive, I think you remove part of the support Bush has for fighting this horrible war.
Well, I don't know, Philip, that that's going to happen, but I'll tell you what should happen. We have instance after instance where companies, KBR and Halliburton and all of these guys, are making huge profits, in some cases providing inadequate services to our soldiers. We had this absurd situation in Afghanistan with some 22-year-old fellow was selling 40-year-old ammunition to the Afghanistan Army that was not working. He started some phony company, was making all kinds of money. What does need to happen is for us to take a hard look at the profiteering that is going on in Iraq and Afghanistan by many of these companies. As I mentioned earlier, during the Korean War, there was an excess profits tax in general. Certainly, we have seen previous Congresses taking a hard look at people who are profiteering off of a war. Which
right. That was the Truman Commission during World War II.
Exactly, which made Truman's name. That's right.
Yeah. It's something that needs to be done here. Mike in Marshall, Minnesota. Mike, you're on the air with Senator Sanders.
Hi, Senator. I had a quick question regarding our trade practices in this country. Tom Hartman has talked about perhaps ending CAFTA or NAFTA, and I've heard some mumblings about changing our exchange rate in order to revive manufacturing jobs and things like that. I wanted to know what your opinion or your thoughts on what we should do.
Well, thanks, Mike. It is a huge issue. If we want to understand why the middle class is collapsing, one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons is that corporations in this country are shutting down plants, moving to China, moving to Mexico, where you hire desperate people for pennies an hour, and then you bring the products back into this country. And by the way, this is a problem not just for blue-collar jobs. When I ask people what's going on in their lives in Vermont and around the country, they're telling me they're losing white-collar jobs as well to India and so forth and so on. I have been a leader both in the House and in the Senate in saying that the current trade policies are not working for the middle class or working families of this country. They're working for the CEOs of large multinational corporations. So I think we have to fundamentally revive these trade policies. Trade is a good thing, but you have to make them work for the middle class and working families and not just the wealthy and powerful. So I would take a very hard look in terms of revising permanent normal trade relations with China, NAFTA, CAFTA, and will certainly be voting against the Colombian Free Trade Agreement if it gets to the floor of the Senate.
Amen, Bernie. That's great. Senator Bernie Sanders with us, our Brunch with Bernie Hour, 866-303-2270.
Tom Hartman. Uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hart Independent. Tom Hartman, Nationwide on AM 620 KPOJ. Evenings, 6 to 8.
We are completely unwilling to do what needs to be done to reduce our dependence on Middle Eastern oil.
Rachel Maddow.
It is a matter of huge national embarrassment and huge national vulnerability and weakness that we have to do everything we do as a country, hat in hand, bowing and scraping.
Evenings, 6 to 8.
Because we are dangling off the swollen udder of the Middle Eastern oil.
Streaming at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
The Cadillac SRX Crossover Sport Edition with 18-inch cast aluminum wheels, an exclusive high-profile sport grille, and OnStar with 1 year of service, all attached to a powerful 255-horsepower V6 engine. This is my Cadillac, all right. Well, technically it's my wife's, but only on the weekdays. The Cadillac SRX Crossover Sport Edition. Experience one today. Cadillac. Life, liberty, and the pursuit. Visit OnStar.com for system limitations and details.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show to talk to you about Empower Fitness in downtown Portland. If you're like me and want to get in shape but are intimidated by those trendy mega gyms, this is the place for you. It's not just a gym, it's more of a life spa, really. In addition to top-of-the-line equipment, flat screens, noise-canceling headphones, and personal trainers, they have chiropractors, massage therapists, and an acupuncturist on site. Visit BodyEmpower.com today and experience it for yourself. I did. That's BodyEmpower.com.
Broadway Toyota sold more hybrids than anyone in Oregon last year because we simply have more to choose from and we sell them for less. If you think you need to be a vegetarian or own a yoga mat to drive a Toyota hybrid, think again. We all hate buying gas. So if your family's been living on ramen noodles so you can fill up your tank each week, Broadway is the only way. Just get off at the I-5 Rose Quarter exit and head 2 blocks east or shop BroadwayToyota.com.
Spas, Oregon. The Spa Pool and Barbecue Show is coming this weekend to the Portland Expo Center. This is your chance to shop major manufacturers under one roof, all competing for your business. See rows and rows of spas, gazebos, swim spas, saunas, barbecue islands, outdoor kitchens, swimming pool, live better, exercise, swim with an all-new swim spa, discounted up to 75%. You've never seen pricing this low, and may never again. Major manufacturers would rather sell them than ship them back. Spas being sold for pennies on the dollar. Hot tubs starting as low as $2,999. 12-month interest-free financing to qualified buyers. Oregon, you can't afford to miss this massive event. Enjoy the therapeutic benefits of owning your own spa, and it's great fun for the whole family. Don't miss this once-a-year event. Transform your backyard into an outdoor oasis and save thousands. The Spa Pool and Barbecue Show at Portland Expo Center. Friday, 12 to 9. Saturday, 9 to 9. Sunday, 10 to 6. Free admission. The Spa Pool and Barbecue Show. The Spa Pool and Barbecue Show at Portland Expo Center.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Mr. Radio here, Tom Hartman with you 9 minutes before the hour. The Tom Hartman program, our Brunch with Bernie hour. Senator Bernie Sanders, sanders.senate.gov, his website, taking your calls. Paul, and speaking of Bernie in Vermont, Paul in Brattleboro, Vermont, listening on WKVT. You're on the air with your senator.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, Paul.
My question is about the deficit. I read that in the Center for American Progress reported that the February 2008 budget deficit was $175 billion. And obviously the Iraq piece of that is important, but it's still $20 billion as opposed to $175. Does that reflect just a huge drop in revenues? Or
no. What it reflects significantly is the tax breaks that our friend in the White House has given primarily to the wealthiest people in this country. It reflects certainly a significant amount of money being spent on the military. It reflects the war in Iraq. And I think it'll also increasingly reflect a downturn in the economy and less revenue coming in.
Thank you. Liz in Miami, Florida, listening on our newest affiliate, WINZ, or WINZ. Hey, Liz, you're on with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Tom, and hi, Senator Sanders. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm interested in seeing a debate, instead of just about the Iraq war, I want to see a debate about our foreign policy and really what constitutes American strategic interests. Instead of just talking about the war, why are we? What are the American strategic interests, and how best can we form a foreign policy to go about doing that?
All right, Liz, I'm nominating you for Secretary of State. That's the most profound. You're absolutely right, and we need
Thank
that.
Thank you, Liz.
We need that debate, and it is not just the war in Iraq. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, A, international terrorism is a real issue. How do we work with the rest of the world to combat international terrorism, understanding that it is not simply a military issue, it is partly military, but it also has to do with making sure that people understand that the United States of America is on their side, concerned about their children, concerned about the high price of food they are paying, the lack of health care they have, global warming, and many other issues. That's number one. Number two, it seems to me that if we are going to create the kind of economy we want in our own country and throughout the world, we need to work with Russia, we need to work with China, we need to work with countries all over the world in reducing military spending, especially for weapon systems that we don't need. We don't need to be the arms merchant in the world. We need to use that money for economic development, for health care, for other issues. So I think Liz raises a very profound question, which sometimes gets diverted because we are so focused on Iraq and Afghanistan. What are our American strategic interests? How do we work with the rest of the world in order to bring about a peaceful, prosperous world?
And now, tragically, how do we undo the damage that's been done by 7 years of bellicosity?
That's absolutely right. You know, I was thinking, Tom, that whoever wins this race for the presidency, I think probably the day after he or she gets behind that desk, they're going to say, hey, I don't want this job. You know, I mean,
it's going to be tough. It's going to be
really
tough.
It's important to reiterate, not just to beat up on Bush, but we are looking at a president who has been a disaster, who has, if not been the worst president in the history of this country, certainly the worst in modern American history in every single area, with foreign policy, the economy, the environment and global warming, health care, you name it, and he has been on the wrong side of the issue big time. And it will take an enormous amount of work for a new president to reverse course, to regain the confidence of the American people and people throughout this world, and move this country in a very different direction.
Amen. Norman in Los Angeles, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Norman, you're on with Senator Sanders.
Yeah, from one Brooklyn guy to another, when you caucus with the Democrats, why don't you encourage them to let the Republicans filibuster if they want, instead of giving in to the fact that you haven't got 60 votes? If they filibuster on any issue, it gets before the media, and people will realize that they're blocking progress. Right now it looks like the Democrats are a do-nothing Congress, which is not so.
Well, Norman, I think you raise a good point, and I, in fact, have made that point. It is, I think you can't do it all of the time because, in fairness to Harry Reid, who's walking a very, very thin tightrope here, we've got to deliver. We can't spend weeks and weeks and weeks on an issue when there is a dozen different pieces of legislation that have to move. But on the other hand, it is my view. I think Norman makes a good point. If the Republicans want to defend tax breaks for the rich and they want to cut back on programs for the middle class and working people, let them tell the American people day after day, let's stay there 7 days a week. Let them tell the American people why they think it's a good idea. I think every time they open their mouth, they're going to lose votes. So I think Norman makes a good point. You can't do it all of the time, but you can do it more than we have. So my view is I'm prepared, you know, not happily. I have a family. I want to get home to Vermont. But I'm prepared to stay there 7 days a week. I'm prepared to be on the floor at 4 o'clock in the morning. If the Republicans want to filibuster, let them pay a price.
Is it just Harry Reid who's stopping this, or is there a consensus among the Democrats?
Yeah, Harry Reid sometimes gets a bad rap. He is trying his best.
He's trying to herd cats, really.
He has a very slim majority to work with, and some people are nowhere near as progressive as Reid is. So.
Yeah. Senator Bernie Sanders, speaking of progressive, one of the best guys in Congress, Senator Bernie Sanders, sanders.senate.gov, his website. Bernie, thanks for being with us today. Our Brunch with Bernie segment, one of my favorite throughout the week. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Next, I want to ask what's going on with the airline industry, and then we'll be taking your calls throughout the rest of the day on pretty much any topic. Stick around.
The Tom Hartman program, taking back the mainstream media. 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide. 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Tom Hartman. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
So what's going on with the airplanes? I'm going to Seattle this weekend, although fortunately we're taking Amtrak. I'm telling you. In fact, Jim Hightower was supposed to be on our program yesterday. He was supposed to fly up here. I mean, he was supposed to be in the studio. He was supposed to fly up from Dallas, and he was on an American flight that didn't fly, as so many didn't. We were talking earlier this morning. Actually, I was talking on my local program with Ellen Ratner, who will be on our program a little later, whose partner is a pilot with one of the largest airlines in the United States. And she seemed, you know, pretty clearly of the opinion that the airlines had been basically cutting corners and cutting back on maintenance and outsourcing maintenance, and the FAA finally caught up with them, and that this had all been about, on the one hand, increasing profits, and on the other hand, decreasing, you know, compensating for increased fuel costs. And I wanted to get somebody on who's an expert on this stuff. Joshua Shank, Ph.D., Joshua Shank, is the director of transportation research for the National Transportation Policy Project, bipartisanpolicy.org, the website. He's also an urban planner who's worked on federal and state transportation policy for the last decade and a transportation policy advisor to Senator Hillary Clinton. Sir, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom.
What the hell is going on here?
Well, I mean, you said some things that were absolutely right. I mean, rising fuel costs are definitely a big component of what's happening. But I think that, you know, the industry cost cutting can be traced to the deregulation that happened, you know, almost over 30 years ago that created an intensely competitive industry with, you know, very little room for error that has created a level of competition that makes it so, you know, this kind of stuff is bound to happen.
Right.
One of the problems that you mentioned, though, in terms of profits, it's kind of funny that you say that, because the airline industry really hasn't been profitable since the beginning of its existence. So it's not a question of...
Well, Southwest has been consistently profitable over the years, they're the most heavily unionized of all the airlines, although they were one of the ones that got whacked. In fact, they found five jets now that had the cracks that they were supposed to inspect.
Yes. Southwest is the exception that kind of proves the rule in this case, and they are an exceptionally well-run airline, but one of the things that they benefited from was that they existed prior to deregulation, which enabled them to understand the competitive environment that would occur after deregulation better than some of the other airlines.
Yeah, in one of the Canadian papers, the Vancouver Sun, is out of Vancouver, B.C., this headline: Canada's airline industry will show a significant profit in 2008 and in 2009. So apparently it is possible to run an airline safely and at a profit. I guess the bottom line question here, Dr. Shank, is this, you know, let me provide a frame, a context for this. Night before last, I was watching one of the news programs, and they all kind of blur into my brain. It was one of the cable news shows, and the host had on three guests, one of whom was a regular with the network, and one of whom was a reporter, and one of whom was some policy person on this issue, and said, you know, what's going on? And the policy person said, well, see, this is just proof that our government is broken and that we need further deregulation and we should have private agencies dealing with this. The second person said, yes, this is proof that our government is broken and, you know, this is the fault of the FDA, or the FAA, rather. Mm-hmm. And the third person said, things just don't work in Washington, D.C., you know. But nobody drew the conclusion or went to the second point that at least with the Bush administration and I'd say going back to Reagan, where there are regulatory agencies and you know, and Dan Quayle in the first Bush administration with his competitiveness thing, where groups don't like the idea of regulation of industry, They break the regulators, and then when the industry falls apart, they say, see, the regulators never should have been there in the first place. Or they break our schools and say, see, we need to go to privatized schools, et cetera, et cetera. It seems to me that this is a problem that really can be tracked back to political philosophy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the history of the airline industry, it was regulated initially for a reason. It was regulated because it was an intensely competitive industry where airlines were competing with each other to carry mail and were outbidding each other by, you know, submitting bids of 0.00001 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of environment it's been since the beginning. It was regulated for a reason. And it was deregulated and primarily because of ideological reasons. And there were many benefits to that deregulation. But that deregulation went a bit too far in the sense that there is still a strong role that government needs to play in economically regulating the industry, and it's absent. And instead, you have a situation where the FAA is completely in bed with the airlines, and that's the result of that is the disaster we're seeing now.
Well, and the comment that Ellen made was that this comes from the top down. This has to do with who the presidential nominee was to head up the FAA, rather,
mm-hmm.
and that. I mean, is that your sense of it, that this is?
Well, I don't think it necessarily has to do with him particularly. I think that the FAA has had a culture of treating the airlines like, you know, their primary customer instead of the traveling public for many years. And they're basically, on several different issues, caved to whatever it is that the airlines are demanding rather than trying to serve the interests of the people. And I don't think the administrator or, quite frankly, the current administration is necessarily to blame. It's just the culture of an agency that has been corrupted by by people it's regulating.
Yeah. So the way that this played out then, it appears that the airlines were skating by. They were cutting corners. They weren't doing the maintenance. They were outsourcing maintenance to groups that were the lowest bidders, and they weren't doing the maintenance correctly. At the same time, the FAA wasn't really closely paying attention. They were kind of looking the other way. They were following this. Well, you know, we really shouldn't be regulating these guys anyway, so let's just, you know, kind of ignore it. And it got elevated to some congressional hearings. It got in the press, and all of a sudden there was pressure on the FAA to pay attention. They paid attention and discovered that the airlines had been doing what airlines would do in the absence of a regulatory agency, and that is not doing the maintenance and not doing the checks.
Yep.
And all of a sudden now the FAA, well, not all of a sudden, but so now the FAA is saying, damn it, do the checks. And the airlines are the airlines, you know, American Airlines shutting down 7,800 flights, are they doing this because the FAA is saying you have to check these things within the next 24 hours? Or are they overreacting in a way to perhaps bring political pressure on Congress to soften the regulations?
Well, I think they're overreacting in the sense that they had plenty of lead time to deal with this. And instead of, you know, trying to get it done in a way that would maximize efficiency, they've somehow decided to wait until the end of the last possible moment to comply with the regulations. I don't know whether that's a strategy to attract attention. It seems like they're losing tens of millions of dollars doing this, so it's doubtful that they would be trying to use that as a strategy to attract attention. But it is certainly, at the very least, gross mismanagement to leave these kinds of necessary checks until the last moment. Now, that said, I think a lot of this is being overblown by the FAA in response to the fact that it's quite clear that they were being corrupted by the airlines. I mean, the FAA would never have come to light had it not been for some whistleblowers in the FAA saying, hey, we were told not to talk about this, but this is a pretty big issue. When those people are exposing the secrets, so well, then the FAA is going to make sure they come down as hard as possible to remedy them.
Yeah. So, you know, is there more and worse to come for those of us who fly a fair amount? I've got a bunch of flights coming up down the road. I know many of our listeners get on airplanes from time to time. Is American Airlines the worst and the last of it, or is this the beginning and the leading edge of it?
Well, in terms of the overall industry economic health, this is the beginning of what will continue to be a tremendous period of hardship for the airlines. I mean, airline industry is very cyclical. It always follows along with the overall economy, and we're entering into a recession. And they weren't doing so well before we started entering into the recession. The flights are more crowded than ever because they're trying to jam up load factors as high as possible while keeping the prices down. And the result is an industry that, when faced with a minor problem, where, you know, some planes are out of service or there's a little bit of weather, kind of collapses onto itself and all of a sudden can't function. And that's not something that's sustainable. And it certainly isn't making them any money, but it's also costing the country a tremendous amount of money economically because people can't get what they want, where they want to go in a reasonable amount of time. And that's very dangerous. And somebody needs to step in and say, okay, here are the rules that airlines have to follow, and here's how we're going to treat passengers, and here's how we're going to reduce congestion. And frankly, this administration is never going to do that. So I think we have to wait at least another year.
At least another. In other words, through another an election cycle and into a new administration.
That's right. Yes.
Because what we're really confronting here is the end game of a failed philosophy.
Oh yeah. I mean, deregulation is starting to become clear that we went too far with deregulation, and this administration will never remedy that. But right. With a Democratic administration, I wouldn't be surprised to see the airlines come to them and say, "Hey, we're in real trouble here. How about some kind of re-regulation?" That's the kind of thing that they've talked about amongst themselves.
Joshua Shank, thanks so much for dropping by. It's great talking with you.
Tom Hartman. Speaking the truth that multinational corporations don't want you to know. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real Social Security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credits, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens, and if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-884-5203 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-884-5203. That's 1-800-884-5203. Again, 1-800-884-5203.
Attention, truth seekers.
Bush and everyone associated with his administration is a liar.
The Mike Malloy Show.
And everything that they have done, every signing statement he has made a lie out of every act he has signed.
Armed with just facts and logic.
He lied us into a war.
It's Mike Malloy.
When the entire world sees the evidence that what Bush says is a lie.
Evenings 8 to 11.
Bush continues to maintain the lie.
AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
This week's automotive service tip is brought to you by Tom Dwyer.
Before you buy any service for your vehicle, make sure that service makes sense for you, your vehicle plans and priorities, and that the service is actually needed. It's difficult to find auto shops able and accountable for providing quality, comprehensive service. And speaking of accountability, it's critical office holders are accountable as well. When elected officials hide their positions or say one thing and vote another, then it's the responsibility of voters to look toward change. It's time Gordon Smith is held accountable. Senator Smith's votes on the economy, Iraq occupation, environment, health care, education, veterans affairs, civil rights, and more prove he needs to go. The winning alternative? Steve Novick has spent the last 2 decades delivering progressive results. Steve will work for what Oregonians need. Do the research. Progressive candidate Steve Novick, good for Oregon. And please, vote.
Keep your democracy safe, breakdown-free, and operating at its best. And remember Tom Dwyer Automotive Services when you need help with your 1995 and newer vehicles. Providing you peace of mind service since 1981. 503-230-2300.
They cause uneven tire wear and damage your suspension. They can also cause abnormal drift, sway, and bounce to your ride. I'm talking about worn-out shocks and struts, one of the most overlooked automotive parts, period. Overlooked by everyone except us. At Advanced Auto Parts, we know how important good shocks and struts are. So come in and buy 3 Monroe shocks or struts and get the 4th free with a mail-in rebate. See store for details. Go home and put them on. Offer ends May 31st. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning. Advanced Auto Parts. Keep the wheels turning.
When you walk into CeCe's, you better come with your decision maker primed for overdrive. Cause this is the good ship Pizzatania, and you are the captain. Will it be pepperoni or mac and cheese? Or your own weird concoction of toppings that's illegal in 3 states? Will you pile your plate for the long run? Or go at a slice at a time and multiple trip your way to some nice cardio work? And of course, the most important decision of them all. What to eat first? CeCe's Pizza, Pasta, Salad, and Dessert Buffet for an unbelievably low price.
CeCe's.com.
It's Macy's biggest men's wardrobe sale of the season. Save on the shoes you love from Timberland, Bostonian, Rockport, and Clarks. Plus, use your men's savings pass for an extra 15% off your shoe purchase. Exclusions apply. Go to Macy's.com to get your pass and all the details.
Supermarket selection. At Les Schwab, it's never been better. Tires, wheels, batteries, shocks, everything you need to get your vehicle ready for spring. And right now, it's sale time. Spring sale. Happening now at the Les Schwab sign and online at leschwab.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows, anything goes.
Okay, anything goes Friday. Whatever topic you want to bring up. Who is it who sent that anthrax to Pat Leahy and Tom Daschle, the only two guys who could have stopped the Homeland Security, the Patriot Act? Who is it? And on it goes. Whatever topic you'd like. 866-303-2270, our Friday Anything Goes program. And Bud in Corvallis, Oregon, listening on KPOJ. Hey, Bud, what's on your mind today?
Tom, let me start with just a little bit of compliment. Number one, thank you. I've really become a fan of yours. And thank you for introducing me and the nation to Ravi Batra.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bernie Sanders on regularly. He's just great. And he reminds me of a congressman I used to have, Leon Panetta.
Yeah.
And the way he approaches life, and you're doing a great service.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm inclining towards one of the Democratic candidates, but I haven't thoroughly made up my mind. But I heard something on TV the other day on a talk show that sort of surprised me, and a guy named Jim Cramer, who's the mad financer.
Yeah, I know. I don't know him, but I certainly know.
Okay,
who you're talking
you probably
about.
Can't comment on his perspective, but he said something that absolutely surprised me, I have some respect for Hillary Clinton's economic outlook, but he was asked, who's going to be the best president to handle this financial mess? He said, hands down, Hillary Clinton, and it surprised me.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if you have any perspective on that.
I have an opinion, but my opinion broadly, first of all, Jim Cramer is and always has been a relatively conservative. Frankly, I always thought he was a Republican. I've not been on his show. I've been on his former colleague's show, Larry Kudlow's show, and talked with him. But you know, I just always had that impression. I may well be wrong, and I don't take Jim Cramer's word as gospel for anything economic. Frankly,
right.
That's not to slam him. I mean, he does a great show, and he actually knows an awful lot about the economy. But, all that said, the bottom line is that either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton are neither one of them, or for that matter, even John McCain, none of them are going to be able to advance an economic agenda in a vacuum. And, it's just like this argument about which is the better health care program. I'm sorry. All these health care programs are going to go out the window once the election is over. It's going to be something is going to be created from scratch. And it's probably going to be a whole lot better than what was campaigned on, because at least on the Democratic side, what's being campaigned on is the middle of the road stuff.
Right.
And on the Republican side, it may be a whole lot worse than what's being campaigned on, because John McCain's moving to the middle, too. And George W. Bush campaigned on, we won't have foreign wars. We won't do nation building. We're going to have a humble foreign policy. We're, united, not divided, blah, blah, blah. All that went out the window when he came into office. So bottom line, there is a growing progressive minority in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. There is a growing progressive majority among Democrats across the United States. There is increasing pressure for rational economic policies. People are waking up to the realities of economic policies. They're starting to actually pay attention and take seriously and understand many of the issues behind them. I certainly spend a lot of time on this show talking about economics because it's really at the bottom of everything. I mean, the cons are talking about things like guns, gays, and gods, and God in particular, to avoid discussing economics because that's their real agenda.
Right.
So I personally don't think that Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, either one, is going to be any better or worse for the economy. I think that either one of them will be a brilliant change from what we've had up to this point, and that John McCain has demonstrated repeatedly that he will be a disaster for the economy. He wants to not just increase the Bush tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires, he wants to increase the Bush tax breaks for corporations. We got corporations right now paying, according to the Berkshire Hathaway last annual report, 7.4% of all federal taxes. They're consuming easily 50% of the commons.
Yeah.
And it used to be 1952, they were paying, again, from the Berkshire Hathaway report, they were paying 32% of the cost of the commons. Now they're paying 7%. Most of the rest of that cost has been shifted onto the middle class, and which is the reason why it's so easy for Republicans to demagogue this stuff by saying, you know, the average working guy is getting stiffed, because the average working guy is getting stiffed. But it's not because Democrats have raised taxes. It's because Republicans have cut taxes on corporations and moved those taxes over to average working people. So I think just any Democratic, fill in the blank, generic Democratic administration is going to be the very best thing. Bud, thanks a lot for the call. Harry in New York City. Hey, Harry, you like the war in Iraq?
You don't mind opposing phone calls, do you? I'm a Republican.
No. Okay. No, I love it.
Okay. Well, it.
Although we
this.
We have just you know, to give you a heads up, we just have a minute before a hard break at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, so you're going to cut me off?
Well, it depends on what you have to say.
Well, you know, you liberals think you're so much smarter than everybody else, but I remember back, you liberals all voted for this war.
Actually, in the House of Representatives, the majority of Democrats voted against authorizing Bush to go to war.
Well,
in the Senate, the majority of Democrats voted for it. But in the House of Representatives, and this never gets brought up on TV and in the talk shows, but it's true. In the House of Representatives, the majority of voted against it. And across the House and the Senate combined, the majority of Democrats voted against giving Bush that authorization.
Yeah, so you liberals just want to hear yourselves just pat each other on the back. You don't want to hear any opposing viewpoints.
Okay, so when you say the Democrats voted for it, and I say, no, I'm sorry, you're wrong, then I'm patting myself on the back?
So no Democrats voted for this war. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm saying the majority of Democrats voted against it.
That's just, okay, Tom.
You said the majority voted for it. I said the majority voted against it.
Yeah, cut me off, Tom. Get some more people to pat you on the back, okay?
All right. Harry, you know, if you wanted to engage in a reasonable discussion about any topic, and our regular listeners know this, you call me up and you're going to take me on, particularly if you're conservative, you want to debate me, you go to the front of the line, not the back of the line. Pathetic try, Harry. 27 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270. Standing up for freedom, Tom Hartman. Nationwide on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Well, he shot his honey partner, but Vice President Dick Cheney apparently doesn't fly fish with naked women, or at least that's the story that Kevin Hall and George Bridges are writing over at McClatchy Newspapers. You can see the McClatchyDC.com is the website. You can see the photo that they took. We put it on our homepage at TomHartman.com of the reflection in Dick Cheney's sunglasses. And I don't know, maybe this is just a giant Rorschach test. I'd say it's our full body alert.
Baby, take off your coat.
Yeah, because that's what you'll see.
Real slow.
In Dick Cheney's sunglasses.
Baby, take off your shoes.
So our question for the day, what is that in Dick Cheney's sunglasses? Now, some folks are saying it's a couple of naked women. Or a naked woman being reflected on each lens. I think they're aliens. So, you know, maybe it's the Pigeon Masters. What do you think? You can weigh in over at TomHartman.com, or, you know, give us a call at 866-303-2270. Ed in Detroit, Michigan, listening to WDTW. Hey, Ed, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? I really enjoy your program a lot.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for listening.
And I am a Democrat, just for the last guy that called.
Okay.
I want to bring up a couple of quick points because I want to make sure we get it covered, and then I just want to hear your opinion, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
A couple of things. McCain is saying how we're going to stay in Iraq for another 100 years and then Iran. I mean, how do they think that we're going to supply our troops? These guys that are there are getting burned out. Some of them have been there two or three times. Nobody has brought up the issue that he's going to, is he going to reinstitute the draft? I mean, how are
he was actually asked that yesterday and basically said no. He suggested that instead that we should pay people more.
Okay.
I mean, we're back to Thomas Jefferson wrote about this. You know, the Second Amendment was originally a requirement for national service, that every man between the age of 17 and 47 be a member of the militia. And that there were two parts to it. It's really a fascinating history. And, in fact, it was written into the original Pennsylvania Constitution that, number one, every able-bodied man between the ages of 17 and 47 have a gun in their house and know how to use it and be a member of a local militia, number one. And number two, that it be against the law. This was a constitutional amendment, that it be against the law for the federal government to have a standing army during time of peace. It authorized a navy during time of peace to protect our borders. But beyond that, an army during time of peace was to be illegal. And the reason why was because they had seen so many countries where the army ended up staging a military coup and taking over the government. And that was the original Second Amendment as was proposed. And it was debated and battled and fought, and it actually passed in the state of Pennsylvania, not as the Second Amendment, but as an amendment to their Constitution. But in the United States, in the debate in the Congressional Constitutional Convention, it was 2 years later, it was 1797, what they did was they ended up simply with that language that, you know, the importance of a well-regulated militia, everybody should be allowed to, I don't have the thing in front of me, but, you know, to have a gun in their home, basically. And so that concept, Jefferson writing about in defense of there being, of everybody being basically a national draft and there being no standing militia. When Jefferson came into office, there were over 300,000 men under arms in the United States. When he left office, there were fewer than 4,000, which he's been criticized for, because in the War of 1812, we didn't have enough of an army. But nonetheless, he really wanted to get to that point. But the bottom line is that the idea of a national draft is something that most of the founders were very much in favor of, a national draft of some sort, but it be a national militia, or actually local militias that could come under national control under time of attack. But and Jefferson, writing about that, he said, "I hope I shall never see the day when America's young men are asked to be shot at for a sixpence." And that day has now come.
But it may come, too, though. I mean, with this administration, with what they're talking about in Iran and everything else, don't be surprised if they try something like that.
No, they're not going to do a draft. They're not going to do a draft. What they're going to do is they're going to destroy the economy, create a larger and larger underclass, poverty class, and then say to those folks, hey, you want a job? We got a job for you. All you got to do is go to Iraq. I mean, and that's functionally what they're doing. I think it's a disaster and a tragedy, but that's what we've got, is we've got the army that Jefferson envisioned as a horrible fate and future for the United States, which is an army made of men willing to be shot at for a sixpence. And, you know, there's a lot of very, very good and noble people who are in our military who joined because they believe in the military. They believe in the history and standards of the military. They love our country and they want to defend our country. There are also a startling number of people in the military, particularly when you look at these service waivers that have gone up to, what, 11 or 13% now of the people who had to get waivers because they had criminal histories, because they didn't graduate from high school, because they didn't do the things that somebody who really wants to be in the military would have done through their late childhood in order to get ready for it. Instead, they just found themselves without a job, and they needed to get a job. So and a recruiter showed up in their house. But, Ed, you raise an interesting point, and I appreciate the call. Franklin in Chandler, Arizona. Hey, Franklin, what's on your mind today?
Well, you were talking earlier about why the airlines were canceling flights all at once.
Yeah, or at least American Airlines.
Yeah. I think it's a simple economic decision. If their biggest cost is fuel, and the fuel's spiking up in price right now, why not cancel the flights when it's going to cost you the least amount, or when you're going to when you would have made the least amount of money anyway?
Well, I suspect that argument breaks down in two ways. The first is that most of these guys buy oil futures. They buy fuel futures. And so they're burning fuel right now that the price was set for anywhere from 3 to 12 months ago. And you know, they buy it in advance in the futures market, and they lock down the prices so that they have some level of predictability. And secondly, the airline was, I believe, if not breaking even, profitable before this. I think they just got caught with their pants down. I think that this disaster, I don't see it as as quite that Machiavellian. Although, you know, perhaps one of our listeners will have some inside information and call in and share it with us. I mean, you know, I wouldn't put anything past corporate America these days. It's all about making money, obviously. But, you know, who knows? Let's see. Jim in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, this is James.
Oh, James, I'm sorry.
Okay, hey. Essentially, my question was about the airlines and the American infrastructure with the getting the people of the middle class, lower middle class ranges to unite. And how do we unite the Americans? And just get them to look up from what they're doing on an everyday from day to day in their lives. They're not seeing it. I work with these people, and there's a lot of them that just don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, James. And I think that, you know, what we have here in the presidential race, or at least in the Democratic primary, and arguably even in the presidential race with John McCain, is the power of vision, which I think is being largely promoted by the Obama campaign, and the power of policy, the power of actually, you know, competence in doing something, which is being promoted by the Clinton campaign. And they're both very, very powerful forces. They're both things that Americans can rally around. My personal guess is that the power of vision, actually my experience, I mean, you know, looking back over all the elections that I've seen in my lifetime, and looking back through history, you know, particularly Jefferson and Lincoln come to mind, is that those politicians who put forward a vision, even if the vision simply reflected policy, are the ones who actually, number one, got elected, and number two, got the most done. The challenge John McCain has is to put forward a vision that's something other than more of the same. And the challenge I think that Hillary Clinton has is to convert her policy competence, which is extraordinary, the breadth of her policy competence, into the kind of vision statements that her husband put forward in the 1992 election, because he was very much campaigning on vision. I haven't so much seen her campaigning on vision. I would like to see more of that. And on the other hand, the Obama campaign, although they've got fairly detailed policy issues on their website, they're mostly campaigning on vision, and I think they're probably going to have to get a little more into policy. But here, for example, I mean, this is Jackie Speier is the newest member of the House of Representatives. She was just elected from California's 12th District. That's Tom Lantos' seat. And he just died of cancer, the only Holocaust survivor in the U.S. House of Representatives. She said, first of all, that some people say she's here to replace Tom Lantos. Nobody could ever replace him. She's succeeding him. And then she talked about John McCain's 100-year war. And the Republicans, listen to this, Republicans actually tried to boo her down.
While holding over 60 community meetings across my district this year, the most common question was, when will we get out of Iraq? It was asked by voters across the spectrum. Veterans, students, parents, the prosperous, middle class, those still working towards their piece of the American dream. The process to bring the troops home must begin immediately.
That's the Democrats.
The president wants to stay the course, and a man who wants to replace him suggests we could be in Iraq for 100 years. But, Madam Speaker, history.
Boo. See, there. The Republicans are booing, and the Speaker has to gavel the House down. You know, will the gentleman please sit down and take their conversations off the floor of the House? Incredible. The Republicans are just terrified of this 100-year John meme that is the truth. The truth. Back with your calls right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where despair is not an option. Get active. Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KBOJ and 620KBOJ.com.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real Social Security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens. And if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-884-5203 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-884-5203. That's 1-800-884-5203. Again, 1-800-884-5203.
Sundays are very special days at AM 620 KPOJ. For you early risers, it's the Reverend Jesse Jackson and Keep Hope Alive at 5. After KPOJ's Sunday Morning Magazine, it's Radical Russ Belleville from 8 to 10, followed by Radio Nation with Laura Flanders and Rachel Maddow on the weekend. From 1 to 4, it's Sam Cedar on Sunday, then Peter B. Collins and Lionel. Yep, Sundays are definitely special. At Portland's only progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
So what do you want to do this weekend?
Well, I've made up my list of the top-rated TVs, so now I'm going to go to all the stores and check out their deals.
You're going to go to Best Buy and Circuit City and Costco and Fry's?
I know it's a lot of work, but how else do I figure out the best place to buy?
You could check the latest consumer ratings on stores.
They rated stores?
Yes, they did. Stores were rated for price and selection and service and even checkout speed.
Great. Those ratings should save me some time. Who won?
The top-rated stores for buying a TV were Video Only.
Really? Video Only was rated better than Best Buy and Circuit City?
Yep. I guess all that don't be sorry stuff is true.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or computers, but you will find the best deals on HDTVs, DVDs, digital cameras, camcorders, and home theater systems. Shop around. Just make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
In Jansen Beach, Clackamas, Beaverton, and Salem. Video Only.
Broadway Toyota sold more hybrids than anyone in Oregon last year because we simply have more to choose from and we sell them for less. If you think you need to be a vegetarian or own a yoga mat to drive a Toyota hybrid, think again. We all hate buying gas. So if your family's been living on ramen noodles so you can fill up your tank each week, Broadway is the only way. Just get off at the I-5 Rose Quarter exit and head 2 blocks east or shop BroadwayToyota.com.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show, and believe me, I know how important it is to get a good night's sleep. If you snore or wake up feeling tired or just can't make it through the day, you might suffer from sleep apnea. But good news, the doctors at Mount Scott Sleep Medicine can help. It has all the expertise to diagnose and treat your sleep disorder. If snoring, hypertension, or pauses in breathing disrupt your sleep, call Mount Scott Sleep Medicine at 888-80-SNORE. That's 888-80-SNORE. Or visit GetSleepToday.com.
Whether you've been creating art for years or just getting started, Muse Art and Design is Portland's friendly neighborhood art supply store, where you'll find all the supplies you need to turn your ideas into art. Muse Art and Design also offers classes and workshops to help you get back into making art or try something new. Visit MuseArtAndDesign.com to learn more about class schedules, sales, and happenings in the art community. Mention KPOJ and receive 10% off art supplies when you shop at Muse Art and Design on Hawthorne and 42nd.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
When the paycheck just ain't stretching like it might have once before, 'cause the good jobs are all gone, left you in some big box store. Between food and rent and medicine, seems the suit's frayed a little bit more. When the boss has cut that last corner, they walk out on those doors. When the truckers hauling sweatshop stuff won't stop there anymore. When the folks won't cross your pickets 'cause their boat's the same as yours. That is one big union.
So what is it in Dick Cheney's glasses? Well, we got, you know, some speculation here. Perhaps he's just picked up a copy of the current issue of Hustler, because I'm on the front cover of it. Actually, it says GOP doublespeak by Tom Hartman. My picture isn't on the front cover, just my name. And so maybe that's what it is. But I still think it's an alien. I don't know. But you can see it over at TomHartman.com. It's also on the White House website. In fact, during the next break, I'm going to put the link to the whole large picture off the White House website over there. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Anything goes Friday. Jim in Vancouver. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
My hat's off to Cheney. Sounds like I need to get a new fishing partner.
I guess. Hey, better than shooting guys in the face.
Yeah. Hey, just to pick your brain, what in your mind is the role of Homeland Security? I work near an area where local police forces and stuff, there's a practice shooting range there. And whenever I see Homeland Security vehicles go down there, at the risk of sounding conspiratorial, all I hear is fully automatic weapons fire. And with all these documents coming out and talking of making a police state, it just kind of, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. And I'm not trying to sound conspiratorial, but what in your mind is the role of Homeland Security?
In my mind, it was a power grab. First of all, think back to before 2001, before Bush became president. And I mean, seriously, think back. Had you ever heard the word homeland before?
Yeah. Well, motherland, homeland.
In reference to the United States?
No, never.
Yeah, me neither. And the reason it was particularly shocking to me and to a lot of people who have lived in or were scholars of the history of Germany is that prior to 1934, most Germans had not heard the word homeland before either. In Mein Kampf, which Hitler wrote when he was in jail with the help of Rudolf Hess, was sort of his half-author, half-ghostwriter for Mein Kampf, Hitler wrote about how the Zionist movement of that time, the Jews who wanted to have literally a homeland, were, you know, in the Middle East, which ultimately was accomplished, that they were using the word homeland, and that in his opinion, in order to consolidate the German people, there had to be a sense of what he referred to as Blut und Erd, blood and earth, that the German people had to have a feeling of identity, that they were from the soil of Germany and that they shared the blood of Germany. In other words, that they were a race apart on a land apart. And he saw in the Zionist movement of the time a model for that, and this isn't to say that the Zionist movement had anything wrong with it. I mean, you know, there really had traditionally been a Jewish homeland, and there was an attempt to recreate it. But Hitler thought that he could create that in Germany. And so in 1934, in the Nuremberg Rally, for the very first time, this word Heimat, which is the German word for homeland, was introduced into the German vernacular, because prior to that, Germany had always been referred to as Der Vaterland, the fatherland. And in fact, this is Rudolf Hess in 1934 introducing the word homeland, which became the standard word throughout the Nazi era. And then after the Nazis fell, after World War II, they went back to referring to Germany as the fatherland. And you never hear the word homeland in Germany anymore. And Germans freaked out when Bush started using this word after 9/11. But just listen to this. If you speak any German at all, if you don't, he's saying, you know, Dank Ihren Führer, thanks to our Führer. And then he talks about how, you know, we can all come together on this. And he says, Deutschland will become, Germany will become a Heimat, a homeland for alles der Deutschen der Welt, for all of the Germans in the world. Here's Rudolf Hess.
Dank Ihrer Führung wird Deutschland sein Ziel erreichen, Heimat zu sein.
Heimat zu sein.
Heimat zu sein. Für alle Deutschen der Welt.
Now that was the introduction of the word homeland to Germany. And it was right after the burning of the Reichstagsgebäude, the parliament building. It was as Hitler was consolidating, right after Hitler consolidated his power in 1934, the first major nationwide rally in Nuremberg. And right after 9/11, right after the anthrax attacks, which led us to directly to the passage of the Patriot Act, we saw the introduction of the word homeland in the United States, and then this homeland agency, the Department of Homeland Security. And, you know, at the risk of sounding like a total, you know, middle-of-the-night talk show host conspiracy person, I got to say, I think the use of this word in reference to the United States is insidious. We are citizens of the United States of America. We come from countries all over the world. We share a wide variety of ethnic heritages. We do not have a homeland. We have a nation.
It shows the true genius of Orwell, you know, when you look at it.
Well, you know, Orwell and in this case, Rudolf Hess, or, you know, or some other thinkers, you know, within the Nazi regime. But I just, you know, whenever I hear the word homeland, and particularly when I hear politicians refer to homeland, I think of a politician in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even in the year 2000 had referred to homeland. People would have said, what are you talking about? And this word just right after 9/11, this word started being used all the time, and it started sliding into our vernacular. And then, you know, the second thing that Hitler did after he came to power was he consolidated all of the police agencies across Germany into one single Uber police agency that had control over all of the police agencies in Germany. We remember that agency as the SS, the Schutzstaffel. So I have some very serious concerns about any police agency under the power of the president with the kind of power that the Department of Homeland Security has. I just think it's anti-American. 57 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, the No Boring Zone. Tom Hartman. Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
It's Anything Goes Friday. Ellen Ratner will be checking in with the news of the day at the very end of the hour. But until then, 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Gary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on WPTT. Hey, Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom. And I've been listening for a number of years. Frankly, the more I listen to you, the more we love you.
Well, thank you, Gary. That's
seriously,
very nice of you.
Seriously. So anyway, just a quick thought. You know, I think it was just a year ago, correct me if I'm mistaken, I think it was we were at 9 B as in billion a year for Iraq. Now it's 12 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And this D.C., this Bush-Cheney, this tag team, I call it, I want to be respectful of the president, but after what I heard you say yesterday, I'm just even more a little bit angry and so disappointed in these two, that they have squandered a huge opportunity after 9/11 for the world, and this is my own words, for the world to look to us and at us as the leader of the free world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, apparently on the Hannity show yesterday, Dick Cheney was talking about oil. And
'80s, when we were actively involved in supporting the Mujahideen there against the Soviets, we were successful, and then everybody was involved and never walked away from Afghanistan. The result after that was the Taliban, first he had a civil war.
Well, and I'm not going to play the whole clip, but anyhow, one of the points that he said if Al-Qaeda were to take over big parts of Iraq, among other things, they would acquire control of a significant oil resource. And, of course, you know, here's Cheney again. This is like from 5 years ago.
Sure. Iraq sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserve, second only to Saudi Arabia.
And you know, first of all, if we walk away from Iraq, Al-Qaeda isn't going to get those resources because the Iraqi Saddam Hussein hated Al-Qaeda. They were a threat to his secular dictatorship, if you want to call it that. The Shia hate Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is a Sunni sect. It's a Sunni, a radical Sunni bunch. and the Shia hate them. So that you've got al-Maliki's government who hates them. You've got Sadr's government, Sadr's institution that hates them. You've got, you know, the Shia Badr Brigade that hates them. I mean, basically, you know, you want to get al-Qaeda out of Iraq, get the United States out of Iraq.
Well, one more thing, yes. So it's kind of ironic. It just seems to be. Here's the supposed to be leaders of the free world. Not only they divide us, what they're very good at, if we can't let them anymore. They divide that whole area over there. And one more thing, I couldn't agree with you more. The 21st century is going to require Americans to get active politically like never before.
Yeah. No, it's as Franklin Roosevelt said. You're welcome. Thank you, Gary. As Franklin Roosevelt said, some generations, much is given. Of other generations, much is required. This generation has a rendezvous with destiny. And here we are. The cycle is repeating itself. David in Ashfield, Massachusetts. Hey, David. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hi, Tom. How are you doing today?
Great.
Good. I actually just want to mention, you talked about this a long time ago. I just want to re-mention it because I want to keep it out there. In the troop, we're going to have a pause of troops in July, until July. And we have service deployments shortening in August. What I see the future, or I would say early November, all of a sudden President Bush coming out and saying, mission accomplished. People have to come home because we have no more troops. They have to come home, and we won. And all of a sudden they're going to start pulling people out of our soldiers out of there, no matter what happens. And we're going to – John McCain's going to say, hey, it was my plan.
Yeah, well, back in 1966, the senator from Vermont, George Aiken, suggested to Lyndon Johnson that he should declare victory and go home. That was his phrase, and it's been quoted many times over the years. And Richard Nixon did a variation on that, and this is where I would just slightly disagree with you, David. I think that what Bush is going to do is more of what Nixon did, which is declare a secret plan for victory, a secret plan. In other words, say, don't worry, I got this under control. Everything's going to be fine. Just, you know, vote our side over the elections. In other words, vote in John McCain. And McCain and I have got this thing figured out, or McCain has got this thing figured out. Yeah, he picks on me for the way that Don Rumsfeld screwed up the war, but it's not my fault. It was Don Rumsfeld. And just keep it in Republican hands and we'll solve the problem with honor. And, you know, they love to use that word, as dishonorable as they have behaved. I don't think he's actually going to pull out troops, though, because then he'd have to deal with the real consequences with the real uncertainty of what might happen. It is going to be a complex process. It's not something that can be done in a couple of months. Even if he were to start it today, he couldn't complete it before the election. So I think what you're going to hear is the rhetorical version of what you're describing rather than the actual version of it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks a lot, Dave, for the call. And, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Bernice, in fact, the other thing, frankly, that I think that, you know, we should all be watching for, and we've Sean and Louise and I have kicked around the idea of doing a contest on this, where we'd give away a book to the winner or whatever, is who can accurately predict the October surprise. What is the Republican Party going to do in October to try and flip this election? Because, you know, going all the way back to the 1960s, you know, Nixon put together an October surprise. He was going to invade the Bay of Pigs. He wasn't able to pull it together and pull it off, but he put the infrastructure in place, and Jack Kennedy inherited it without even realizing it existed. What will be the October surprise this time around? But we're going to actually do that and roll that out as a contest sometime in the next couple of weeks here. Bernice in Dearborn, Michigan, listening on WDTW. Hey, Bernice.
Hi, Tom. Back to Michigan's primary.
Sure.
Yesterday afternoon, Senator Carl Levin declared on a radio talk show regarding Michigan's delegates, quote, "I'm very confident that we're going to be seated," unquote. He then said he had to run and left the show. I wonder what he knows that we disenfranchised Michigan voters don't know.
Well, I suspect that he's right. Howard Dean has said, you know, fairly emphatically and fairly publicly that he's going to figure out some way to seat these delegates. He took a pass on taking a leadership role on this, or maybe he didn't have the choice. I mean, we had this conversation with Susie Turnbull, who's his assistant, and with him for that matter, over the last 6 months or 8 months, and they thought that the campaigns should be making the decision. The campaigns seem to be waffling, but And you know, we did an hour on this yesterday. I really think that the Michigan and Florida delegations will be seated. The question is, under what terms and by what standards? But the Democratic Party will be in so much trouble if the citizens of Michigan and the citizens of Florida feel that they have just been completely ignored. So, Bernice, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I agree with Carl Levin that it will happen. Dan in San Diego. Hey, Dan, what's up?
Yeah, Tom, I wanted to talk about the caller who called a while back, and he was making the point that the Democrats voted for the war, too. And that's a concept that I call the kindergarten defense, you know, and recall back in kindergarten, you know, if you broke a window or something, you said, like, well, those guys were throwing rocks, too. And I say the kindergarten defense because that's about the sophistication and the maturity level of these guys. And, you know, it's a card that the right wing routinely plays. And as the caller did, they typically say, well, we don't want to talk about the perpetrator. We just want to talk about, you know, the they did it too part, you know. And
right.
The point is, even if all the Democrats had voted for the war, that doesn't let the perpetrator off the hook. And that's my comment.
Yeah. Okay. Well said. And I totally agree with you. Tim, in Los Angeles, California, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Tom. Since it's Open Fridays, I'd like to ask you something that's totally left field, if it's okay.
Sure.
Thank you. You said something a while ago that really piqued my interest, and not going to get into too many details. My question is, can you tell me your thoughts about, I guess, paranormals and your belief in it? Because there's two things that, like I said, that really piqued my interest.
Okay. I've had a couple of experiences that I can't explain. I've had experiences of being able to. I actually wrote about one in a book called The Prophet's Way, which is not about prophecy and it's mostly about my mentor, Gottfried Mueller, who is this German fellow whose mentor was a man by the name of Avram Poyak, who was a Hasidic Jew. And Herr Mueller has a path in the forest in Germany that he calls the Prophet's Way, and it's where he goes to talk. Where he goes to pray and he goes to talk to the prophets, and that's right. Thus the title of the book. And I described this. This was I was meditating. I mean, literally meditating in a room in Michigan back in the mid 70s, early 70s, and it was at night and the snow was falling. It was a beautiful snowy night, and I just suddenly had this experience of being aware of not just my body but everything around me. It was like I could see and taste and smell, you know, and it just extended out throughout the neighborhood, across the community. All across the world, and eventually the entire universe. It was just an extraordinary experience. I don't know how to explain that. And, you know, maybe it was an epileptic seizure, but it was extraordinary. So that's my answer. 16 minutes past the hour.
Tom Hartman, helping you win the water cooler wars. This is the Tom Hartman Program. You're tuned with Tom Hartman nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Did you ever hear that bedbugs transmit serious diseases like hepatitis and are only found in filthy living conditions? Well, that's just a myth. Here's the fact. Bedbugs don't transmit diseases, but they do bite, leaving behind red and itchy welts, and can be found in the cleanest of places, even hospitals and five-star hotels. And that's no myth. A pest professional is your best defense against the devastation bed bugs, rodents, and termites can cause to your home and family. Visit PestWorld.org to hire your pest pro today. That's PestWorld.org.
The second season has begun. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs on NBC. Alex Ovechkin. The Washington Capitals are the hottest team in the NHL. But can Alexander the Great carry them all the way to a championship? It's the Caps and Flyers, Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern.
He scores! Jeff Carter!
The Flyers. The Capitals. It's Game 2, Sunday at 2 o'clock Eastern. Check your local listings for time and station in your area. The Stanley Cup playoffs on NBC. The Cup changes everything.
It's Portland's most progressive talk with Tom, Heidi, and Carl.
John McCain's age. He'll be 72 on Election Day.
Morning, 6 to 9.
Team McCain, as they call him, is getting serious about this age issue, and it's going to convene a meeting of all of his doctors to answer questions next month about his health.
Tom Hartman, Heidi Tauber, and Carl Wolfson.
All of his doctors? I mean, how many does he have?
Gee.
Morning, 6 to 9.
You're going to have to find an auditorium for that.
Online at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620. KPOJ.
Thinking about a new Honda Accord? A great front-wheel drive car on sale for around $20,000 plus?
But have you considered an all-wheel drive 2008 Subaru Outback for around $2,000 less? You owe it to yourself to test drive the new symmetrical all-wheel drive Subaru at Car Subaru and find out why the average buyer keeps their Subaru for over 7 years, as per J.D. Powers and Associates. This week, Car Subaru, one of Oregon's few environmentally friendly green dealers, has the 2008 Outback on sale for just $17,995. That's right, just $17,995. And we have the largest Subaru inventory in the Northwest, with over 400 new Subarus in stock. Car Subaru, the green dealer, just off Highway 217 on Canyon Road in Beaverton, where salaried salespeople see it your way. Think, feel, drive Subaru. 2008 Outback 8VA, stock number S80544. Sale price after $1,500 rebate.
Guys, if you've ever hesitated to buy the woman in your life a gift of fine jewelry, consider this. When it comes to value, diamonds, rubies, sapphires, pearls, and gold have all withstood the test of time. Cherished across the globe for centuries, they continue to become more valuable and scarce. The price of gold and the worth of these gemstones have been increasing as our currency has been decreasing. Just pick up any newspaper and you'll see. What I sell is value, the best quality at the best price, with style, beauty, meaning, and significance. So come to Shane Company. She'll really appreciate that you've spent your money in such an intelligent and beautiful way. And remember, guys, this was all her idea, not mine.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company, off Highway 217 across from the Washington Square Mall. Open weekdays till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5, online at ShaneCo.com.
It's Macy's biggest men's wardrobe sale of the season. Save on the shoes you love from Timberland, Bostonian, Rockport, and Clarks. Plus, use your men's savings pass for an extra 15% off your shoe purchase. Exclusions apply. Go to Macy's.com to get your pass and all the details.
Son, underage drinking is dangerous.
I know.
Teenagers know everything. So start talking before they're teenagers. Learn more at StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Anything goes. It's Anything Goes Friday, 20 minutes past the hour. Let me just add to that story, if I may. It's a topic I don't talk about very often, but what the heck, it's Anything Goes Friday. And I think probably the number one thing that has informed, if you want to call it spirituality, whatever, that dimension of my worldview. And frankly, it informs my politics and my perspective on other people, right across the board. I was about 7 years old, and there was a church down at the end of the street that we lived on called the Kendon Drive Church of the Nazarene that my mom used to take us to on Sundays. Well, both my parents. I didn't learn that my dad was an atheist until he was in his 40s. And, I mean, he just never talked about it. But my mom used to always take, push for it. And he was okay. It was fine with him. And they had this summer program where there was a farm. We were in Lansing, Michigan. We were in the suburbs. And there was this farmer who, invited the kids out. And the Sunday school kids. And so there was like me and 8 or 10 kids who went out to this farm outside of Lansing. And a bunch of the kids had gone off playing, and I was sitting talking to the farmer. And in my mind, he was like this ancient old guy. He's probably, the age that I am now. But he had gray sideburns and whatnot. So anyhow, he and I are sitting on opposite sides of this, next to each other. Between us is a little card table with some lemonade on it, on the lawn of the farmhouse, and we're just sitting there, just looking at the world. And he says, "Look at the crows in the trees there. Look at the birds, those black birds up in the tree." And I see the crows flying around. And he says, "Now look at how blue the sky is. Look at the depth of that sky." and the occasional little white fluffy cloud up there, and I could see that. And he says, look at the tree line off in the distance. And there was a small river that went off along, and he said, you can see where the river is by the trees. And look at the fields. He says, you feel the wind on your face? You know, there was a slight breeze blowing, and I was like, and he says, can you smell the freshly cut grass? I was like, yeah, I can smell it. And he said, do you hear the birds and the wind? And I was like, yeah. And he said, and you see the road? And you can see the freshly plowed field over there? And, I mean, he just, you know, was going through this, all these things that we could see and we could hear and we could feel. And then he leaned over, and in this conspiratorial whisper, like he was going to convey to me the biggest secret in the universe, he leans over and he says, and here I'm sitting here 7 years old, just kind of taking all this in. He leans over and he says, it's all alive. And in that moment, I had this sudden, I mean, it just rocked me right down to the bottom of my feet. It is all alive. Everything I was seeing, everything I could hear, everything I could feel, everything I could taste and smell. I got it. It's all alive. And I still carry that with me. I mean, that is one of the most powerful experiences of my life. And just this, wow. So, in answer to the caller, I hope that answers your question. And to everybody else, we won't go there that often in the future. Mark in San Francisco, listening on Green 960. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a quick question for you. Is there a statute of limitations on war crimes, and is that maybe why they're waiting out the clock here on it?
No. Joseph Mengele, you know, they searched for him for 34 years before it was pretty clear that he was dead. There is not a statute, to the best of my knowledge, of limitations on war crimes. I think the statute of limitations that the Bushies are trying to run out is the election. They believe that, A, George, on his way out, can use the one kingly power that's conferred to the president in the Constitution, the power to pardon, that he can use that to pardon pretty much everybody who might testify against him, and that future presidents, whoever's elected president, whether it's McCain or Clinton or Obama, that president will probably do what Bill Clinton did with George Herbert Walker Bush, what George Herbert Walker Bush did with Ronald Reagan, what, frankly, Jimmy Carter did with Jerry Ford, and what Jerry Ford did with Richard Nixon, and that is basically suspend all investigations into the crimes of the previous administrations and not go after them. And, you know, I think all the more the tragedy. I think it's a terrible thing. But frankly, that, in my mind, is the statute of limitations that they're looking for. And as we talked about yesterday, we need to make sure that that doesn't happen. John in Portland, Oregon. Hey, John, we've got a minute before the break here at the bottom of the hour. What's up?
Hello?
You're on the air, John. Yes.
I've listened to you. You talked about the oligarchy and the relation with big business, you know, and the struggle between oligarchy and democracy. After the death of my wife 3 years ago, I'm 72. I accidentally investigated some works on archaeology and history, linguistics, and discovered that the Bible, according to our archaeological research and the late scholarship beginning in the middle of the 19th century, is a complete forgery and plagiarism of ancient mythology, that the biblical characters, Jesus, the apostles, the patriarchs, the prophets, never really lived as powerful elites.
John, I'm not cutting you off. We really are out of time. But there certainly is an element of truth to what you're saying, in as much as religions seem to reinvent themselves over and over and over again with the same archetypes, which raises the question, where do the archetypes come from?
You're tuned in to the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270. You're listening to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yes, it does. The Tom Hartman Radio Program, powered in part by the Teamsters Union, holding Waste Management Incorporated accountable in the fight for worker safety. Find out more at Teamster.org. Powered in part by you, our listeners, supporting our sponsors and supporting the radio stations you're hearing this show on. Go out and pick up their bumper stickers. Go to the radio station. Ask for promotional material. Pass it out to your friends. Tell them to tune in. Okay, we've got, I think, about 15 minutes here in this segment, and then Ellen Ratner's going to drop by from the Talk Radio News Service. Got a whole bunch of calls, so I'm going to try and keep my answers short. You try and keep your questions short. Let's see how many we can do here. Pam in Dearborn, Michigan. Hey, Pam, thanks for listening on WDTW.
Yes, I agree totally with your homeland issue. Even before I took German in high school, I was totally aware of that thing, and I was just absolutely appalled that this country would even use that term to describe what they were calling as homeland security.
Right. It's a term that a Native American tribe could use, that the Jews could use with regard to Israel, that a group that has traditionally, that has homogeneity and traditionally has a homeland, it's appropriate to use. But we are a nation, we are a melting pot nation, and that's it. Anyhow, don't get me started. We've already done that.
Yeah, I won't get you started, but the other issue is I wanted to tell you, I emailed you recently, and I know you can't answer each email, but my son-in-law has a solar tracker company, and it is the oldest one in the United States. And what these trackers do, I don't think a lot of people know what these are. They're called Azimuth, A-Z-I-M-U-T-H,
mm-hmm.
trackers.
Right.
And what they do is rotate toward the sun,
right,
and they get up to 33% to 44% more energy.
Right. They increase the efficiency of solar panels they increase the efficiency of solar panels the same way flowers do by continually moving themselves towards the sun.
Yes, they
yeah.
do.
Pam, your point, please.
But anyway, I think people need to be aware of this because they look at solar as just, you know, these flat panels.
Yeah.
That can't do anything but just...
No, I agree. And in fact, I encourage you to go over to TomHartmann.com and on our message board, you can start a post and you can point to your son's website and you can tell people about it because, you know, I think it's a great technology and we need to get more word about it out there. Jeff in Tacoma. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on. We talk a lot about things that we should be doing to make the world a safer, more secure place. Mm-hmm. And one thing Al Franken talks about all the time is this UN goal for every nation in the world to give 0.7% of their GDP to global development to alleviate hunger, poverty, famine, disease, all that.
Yes.
And I'm thinking this is a perfect issue for the Democratic Party to just pick it up and run with it. McCain's not going to do anything with it, and he's not going to know how to fight it. And I have a little slogan. Basically, it's the same way real estate uses points to denote 0.1%. You know, ordinary mm-hmm. people are going to hear 0.7% of GDP, their eyes are going to get glazed over. 7 points for peace. And then you could have a website, 7 points, you know, it'll make less wars, make people not want to join extremist groups because they can get a job, you know, stuff like
that.
That's
a nice one. That's a nice one, Jeff. Thanks for sharing that with us. Harvey in Berkeley, California, listening on Green 960. Hey, Harvey.
Hi, Tom. I appreciate your common sense approach to healing America's problems.
Thank
you. I'd like to talk about bicycling and getting America back in shape. I'd like to see a national bicycle infrastructure separate and apart from a national highway system, 2 wide bicycle lanes, 1 in each direction along scenic routes and clean air environments away from regular polluted roads. And when it comes to bicycling, which would help reduce greenhouse gases and slow climate change, we need a safe bicycle infrastructure. Too many people, especially young people, have been seriously hurt or killed while riding bicycles. And so environment and also environmentally sustainable shopping and lodging along these bicycle highways would lead to a growing green economy. It would also stimulate tourists. Tourists would love to come here and bike across America. So I say it's time to feel the land, not just drive through it.
Amen. Well said, Harvey. And, in fact, we're doing that here in Portland. It's the most bicycle-friendly city in the United States. We've got 44 miles of contiguous greenway. You can drive your bicycle or walk 44 miles without having to stop, without crossing a road. It's absolutely extraordinary. And we're doing a lot of mixed-use development here where you can live and work and shop in all the same neighborhood. And you don't even need a car. Sean in Morro Bay, California. Hey, Sean.
Hi, Tom.
And Sean, if I may interrupt you, and let me just add that by doing this, Portland has beat the Kyoto Treaty Protocol requirements. Go ahead, Sean.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. Thank you so much for all you do. You're a true American hero.
Thank you.
I have a two-part comment question. I'll try to make it quick. Back to the subject of homeland,
mm-hmm.
I agree. The use of the word is chilling, and if we look more at the actions of this administration, even more than their words, at a time when you'd think that they'd be trying to make enlisting look enticing, instead, you know, they're sending the troops back and back again over and over and involving them in torture, hard to get benefits, even protective gear. And then back to the homeland topic, sending our National Guard out of the homeland to fight in Iraq while at the same time trying to set up bases for Blackwater.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really concerned about what's going on here and want to stop these guys. And about a month ago, you had mentioned what I thought was a great idea for Americans to pool their tax rebate money and fund a dream team of lawyers to prosecute these guys. Yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
Is something like that possible, or is something like that going on, or how can we start that?
You know, the way to begin right now, there's two groups that are doing, right off the top of my head, that are doing great work in this area. One is the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU. I am a card-carrying member of the ACLU. ACLU.org is their website. You should join the ACLU. You can contribute to them. They are suing the government. They are pursuing these things. And the second is Michael Ratner's organization, the Center for Constitutional Rights. Their website used to be ccr-ny.org. I know that they've come up with one that's a little easier to remember, so I'm sure if you just simply Google Center for Constitutional Rights, it'll pop right up and participate with them. I don't know to what extent they're doing fundraising and things like that, you know, or they're privately funded, but they are just doing spectacular work, and I commend you to them. But there are a lot of groups around the country, and Sean, thank you very much for the call. There's a lot of groups around the country who are raising these issues and doing this kind of work, and it really needs to have a higher profile. Tony in Humboldt County. Hey, Tony.
Hey. Hello.
Listening on KGOE. What's up?
Well, I think the Patriot Act, which has made so much of this possible, was Watergate on steroids. I think that, unlimited surveillance on your political opponents sounds like a good idea to me. If you're a dictator, hey, I'd go for it.
Yep.
And I
guarantee you, Tony, if the Democrats had been in power and the Democrats had, if there had been a Democratic president and they had passed something like the Patriot Act, you would have had Newt Gingrich or his followers, his heirs up on the floor of the House and the Senate screaming, what? They want to have the right to wiretap me so they can listen in on my political conversations? I'm not, you know. And the Democrats go, well, maybe we should discuss this in a conference.
Well, maybe it's not nice. But I do think that we ought to take advantage. So while we have their ears, maybe we should just give them earful of what we really think and just make sure that we give it to them all the time, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and it has to be both, Tony. We have to, when we see things that are happening wrong in Congress, we need to let Congress know about it. We need to complain about it and tell them what we would like done right. At the same time, when they do something right, and Congress, frankly, has been doing a lot of things right lately, particularly, you know, Christie's mustache of justice, you know, Congressman Waxman and Congressman Conyers, Pat Leahy. Nancy Pelosi's done some really great stuff recently. Call their offices and thank them when they do good things. They, you know, they need to hear that, too. Tommy in Los Angeles, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Tommy.
I got to ask, are the best days of the United States behind us? Or
it depends on the choices we make in about 6 months.
Yeah, okay. That's true. I'm just getting really tired of seeing us invade countries, destroy them, rebuild them while our country falls down around us.
And the multinational corporations based in the United States make billions and hundreds of billions of dollars in the process. You're absolutely right. Certainly over the last 7 years, we've seen the United States, you know, just 70% of the total debt of the United States has been run up by three presidents, you know, Reagan and two Bushes. It is absolutely incredible. When you think that Reagan ran up more debt in 1 8-year term than every president from George Washington until Reagan combined, more than the debt that we borrowed to run to fight the Revolutionary War, and we did, more than the debt that we borrowed to fight the War of 1812, more than the debt that we borrowed to fight the Civil War, and we did all these wars on debt, more than the debt that we borrowed to fight the Spanish-American War, more than the debt that we borrowed to fight World War I, World War II, Korean War, add them all together, Vietnam War. And Reagan borrowed more than that to give that money to his buddies, the big defense contractors for Star Wars. And where did the money go? We still don't know, but we're paying $300 billion a year in interest this year. Greg in Cucamonga, California. Hey, Greg. Got about a minute before the break. What's up?
Oh, hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Yeah, I heard that Ron Paul had agreed that he would like to reopen investigation of 9/11, and I'm wondering about the other three, McCain, Obama, and Clinton. Do they have any interest in investigating the events of September 11th and what caused Building 7 to fall down and various things?
I honestly don't know. It's a question that should be put to them, though. I agree with you, and I would love to see that investigation reopened, and not just what caused Building 7 to fall down, but you know, why is it that the EPA lied to the people who were on the ground, who were many of them who are dying now from the crud that was in the air? Why is it that the Bush administration did that? Why is it that nobody's been held responsible with the Bush administration? Why is it that Giuliani had them dig and dig and dig until he found the gold at the base of Ground Zero and then said, okay, that's it, now we're out of here, even though bodies had not been recovered yet? I mean, you know, this is just the simple stuff that even CBS you would think would handle, right? Even those questions haven't been answered. 45 minutes past the hour.
The Tom Hartman Program. The true people's radio. Tom Hartman. Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
I'm Carl Edwards. As a NASCAR driver, I can't let allergies slow me down. My eyes get itchy, I try to scratch them, forget it. That's why I use Claritin. It works hard on my toughest allergy symptoms. And unlike many other allergy medicines, it won't make you drowsy. In fact, with Claritin, I'm alert and focused, so I get back to feeling like myself again. For me, Claritin really is the perfect allergy medicine. Stay alert, stay focused. Live Claritin Clear with non-drowsy Claritin.
Use as directed. Now's your chance to save on your next Claritin purchase. Look for coupon savings in this week's Sunday paper.
The second season has begun. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs on NBC. The Detroit Red Wings have the NHL's best record during the regular season. Now they start their quest of another cup against the Nashville Predators. Catch all the action Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern. The Red Wings, the Predators. The long road to the Stanley Cup begins in Detroit. It's game two, Saturday at 2 Eastern. Check your local listings for time and station in your area. The Stanley Cup playoffs on NBC. The Cup changes everything. Helping you make sense of it all.
He is controlling his temper, but he really wants to smack the kid up.
Ed Schultz.
I want to know if Senator McCain has gone through anger counseling. When it comes to the McCain camp saying that he's working on his temper, you and I have every right to ask, what does that mean?
The Ed Schultz Show.
And don't come out there and tell the American people that you're working on it.
Noon to 3.
I think you need to clarify exactly what kind of work we're talking about.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Topperson pain relief and healing cream. Topperson relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Topperson and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is now available at Fred Meyer, Natural Food, and other fine stores. Go to Topperson.com for store near you or call 1-800-959-1007. Topperson.com or 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Spas, Oregon. The Spa Pool and Barbecue Show is coming this weekend to the Portland Expo Center. This is your chance to shop major manufacturers under one roof, all competing for your business. See Rose and Rose of Spas, Gazebo, Swim Spa, Saunas, Barbecue Islands, Outdoor Kitchen, Swimming Pool, Live Better, Exercise, Swim with an all-new Swim Spa, discounted up to 75%. You've never seen pricing this low, and may never again. Major manufacturers would rather sell them than ship them back. Spas being sold for pennies on the dollar. Hot tubs starting as low as $2,999. 12-month interest-free financing to qualified buyers. Oregon, you can't afford to miss this massive event. Enjoy the therapeutic benefits of owning your own spa. And it's great fun for the whole family. Don't miss this once-a-year event. Transform your backyard into an outdoor oasis and save thousands. The Spa Pool and Barbecue Show at Portland Expo Center. Friday, 12 to 9. Saturday, 9 to 9. Sunday, 10 to 6. Free admission. The Spa Pool and Barbecue Show. The Spa Pool and Barbecue Show at Portland Expo Center.
Broadway Toyota sold more hybrids than anyone in Oregon last year because we simply have more to choose from and we sell them for less. If you think you need to be a vegetarian or own a yoga mat to drive a Toyota hybrid, think again. We all hate buying gas. So if your family's been living on ramen noodles so you can fill up your tank each week, Broadway is the only way. Just get off at the I-5 Rose Quarter exit and head two blocks east or shop BroadwayToyota.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
This is my dad's favorite song. We played it at his funeral.
I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Hey, thanks so much to my producers, Sean Taylor, to Louise Hartman, to Chris Rosen, Sean Kenzie, Lauren Kirshner, Marcus Hillman at Air America, to Sue Nethercutt, and the folks in our chat room, Mike Toth, who does our audio archives on our website, to our affiliates, our sponsors, and to you for listening to our program. Thank you. And to Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com in Washington, D.C., where you can find a whole lot of great photos and video and audio of our trip to Darfur four weeks ago. And for the great reporting, Ellen, that you've done on this program over these many years, giving us a daily 15-minute summary of the news. What's up?
Okay, well, it is a sort of a light news day, although today at the Pentagon, Admiral Mike Mullen from the Joint Chiefs of Staff talked about Iranian influence increasing after Basra, and then he was supplemented by General, let me just find my notes here. Secretary Gates talking about a threat of terrorism increasing in Afghanistan, and therefore there needs to be more commitment by the countries, other countries, to send more NATO troops.
Yeah, in other words, it's bleeding us to death just like it did the Soviet Union. Does this sound to you like they are setting up a strike on Iran?
You know, I have asked even very prominent Democrats who have sat in on meetings at the White House, I said, are we going to do a strike before the election or before the next president? And everybody to a T has said no. But given the speech yesterday and given the follow-up today, I'm just, I don't know, you know, that little arrow that you get on a compass seems to be pointing in a particular direction, and I just can't seem to get it out of my mind, although people are saying, no, no, no.
Well, it certainly is pointing that way for some people. I mean, Joe Lieberman, Lindsey Graham, there were a few others who clearly their takeaway message from their interactions with Petraeus and Crocker was Iran is now the villain in the region, and we need to deal with them.
Yes, and, of course, as we talked about yesterday, no mention of the other countries that might be supplying the Sunnis.
Right, yeah, Saudi Arabia being at the top of the list. Interesting.
The White House today also went full speed ahead on Speaker Pelosi. They actually issued one of their sort of updates early this afternoon talking about that there were editorials in the San Francisco Chronicle saying Speaker Pelosi is playing politics with the Columbia Free Trade Agreement. Then they talked about a paper in Harry Reid's state saying basically the same thing. So the White House is sort of going on the offensive about this today.
Mm-hmm. And is this, are they going after Nancy Pelosi because she's getting things done? I mean, or is this just a gratuitous whack upside the head?
Well, I think it's a gratuitous whack outside the head, but also, you see, Pelosi may be promoting politics or playing politics, and they may be making some kind of deal on a second supplemental is what we've been hearing. Mm. Yeah, okay, we'll eventually let the Columbia Free Trade Agreement go through with some real modifications, but we want a second stimulus package because it's really hurting Americans not to have it.
Right. And that stimulus package is a two-edged sword for the Democrats because, you know, as Limbaugh would be the first to point out, if times are bad, it works to the benefit of the Democrats. If times are good, when you have a Republican administration anyway, it works to the benefit of the Republicans. If it was a Democratic administration, obviously it would be the other way around. But nonetheless, so if the Democrats just, you know, there's an old saying, you know, when somebody's destroying themselves, you know, don't interfere. Or actually the old saying is a little more elegant than that. I forget the exact words. But if the Democrats step in and improve the economic situation between now and November, it's going to take away one of their largest things to beat up John McCain with, which is the Republicans have screwed up the economy. On the other hand, if they don't step in and things get worse, people are going to suffer. People are going to commit suicide. Families are going to fall apart. People are going to die as a result of lack of health care or lack of access to it. People are going to lose their jobs. I mean, you know, there's a huge human toll. And I know that the, you know, good people in the Democratic Party and even a few good people in the Republican Party get that. And, you know, there's a humanity issue here as well as a political issue.
Absolutely.
So how do the Democrats play this?
I think the Democrats have got to play it pretty straight. I mean, I think that they have got to say, this is what really needs to be done to help X amount of families.
Right.
And, of
even
course, we have the situation with the housing and the mortgage issue, and the bill in the Senate is just, as far as I can tell, horrible. Yeah. And, in fact, there was a conference call this morning with Center for Budget and Priorities talking about that the 60% of the housing bill in the Senate has absolutely nothing to do with solving the housing problem.
Yeah. Now, I talked with you 5-6 hours ago about this on the local show here on AM 620 KPOJ, and you pointed out that Chris Dodd, when he first put the bill together, it had a lot of provisions and protections for the average person. Those all were stripped out by the Republicans. I then talked with Bernie Sanders in our first hour, and he said that he voted for the bill, and the reason why he voted for the bill, even though he thought it was a lousy piece of legislation, was that it will go to conference committee where members of the House of Representatives will sit with members of the Senate, and they will essentially rewrite it. And the House's bill is actually fairly good toward the average working person.
Yes,
and
the House bill is a lot better.
Right, and he believes that the House bill's good parts might get bled into this, and one final piece of legislation will come out that'll be a good piece of legislation. That's his hope anyway. You think it's possible?
Anything is possible, and then, of course, the Republicans in the Senate might be too embarrassed not to vote for the conference report.
Yeah, and if that's the strategy the Democrats are playing, well, you know, it's better than nothing. Ellen Ratner, TalkRadioNews.com. Ellen, thanks so much for dropping by. Coming up Monday, I'll be challenging John McCain's surrogate, Dr. Deal Hudson, on his recent meeting with the Reverend John Hagee. Remember him? And why he's trying to paint him as a nice guy. Yeah. And don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Activism begins with you. Tag, you're it. Get out there. Get active. Have a great weekend.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit TomHartmanRadio.com.